Hello and welcome to Tax Invoice, the ATO's official podcast. Here at the ATO, we want tax and super to be as easy to understand as possible. So we've invited industry experts to sit down with ATO's senior leaders and ask them the questions. In this episode, Deputy Commissioner of Superannuation James O'Halloran talks to Dr. David Knox, Senior Partner at Mercer and Co-Chair of the ATO's Superannuation Industry Stewardship Group. They have a candid chat about the ATO's perspective on how things have gone so far, the challenges and what lies ahead in 2018 for APRA funds. We hope you enjoy this episode of Tax Invoice.
James, welcome and thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us today. We've seen the biggest reforms in super for a long time over the last year or so. What's been the ATO's perspective on how things have gone with these significant reforms?
Look, David, thanks very much for sharing today. I mean, a couple of things. One is just how common and how much the industry and ourselves have had to come together, and in fact have come together in a really difficult circumstances. So firstly was to thank people for all sorts of effort, from the most senior or junior people in the industry through to a range of specialisations. Reform wouldn't have been able to be implemented without everybody's effort. So that's the first thing. In terms of the implementation itself, look, we think by and large, as much as implementations can go, we've landed in a pretty good spot. Much to do, but certainly we've turned policy concepts into reality for members' benefit to obviously comply with what the government needed us to do. But in particular, we're in a pretty good spot by and large, we think.
Sure. Now, there are a number of other government initiatives that are occurring outside the ATO, and they're creating a lot of pressures and demands within and on the super industry at the moment. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about these initiatives and your perspective on them.
Yeah, look, there is a fair bit happening, and obviously some of it doesn't directly involve the ATO. But I think the main message today is we acknowledge that there's a very strong level of scrutiny of the industry. There's obviously challenges to a whole range of views of the industry and its future. We're obviously conscious of the Productivity Commission review, which is pending. The recently announced Banking Royal Commission, clearly I'll leave that to others, but that's certainly a matter that occupies a lot of senior executives and funds time and will so for many months. Insurance and superannuation is always topical, as is, of course, a whole range of issues out of some changes arising from privacy and data breaches. And of course, even in the last few weeks, the realisation of the National Payments Platform as an enabler for both industry and does present us some challenges. So I think the main thing, David, that struck me is we need to be conscious of the effort and time and overlapping questions that are being asked. And we certainly hope to try and streamline some of that by being part of the discussions where we can be, or in fact facilitating joint discussions where we can. Sure. And we know it's going to be a difficult year, but I think one that's we're just going to have to think about and plan well ahead for.
Talking about changes and looking ahead, in addition to the recent budget changes, we're also moving into implementing a new reporting framework. James, perhaps you can tell us a bit about how this is going.
Look, the short answer, David, is we think it's going pretty well. 7 or 8 months ago, it was a concept. Industry and ourselves came together at a really deep level of detail and strategy, and it's up and running. And certainly in moving the new reporting framework, it's about bringing greater transparency that hopefully will help members. It'll help funds and ourselves, not so much to identify things that have gone wrong, but as much to see things as they're progressing. And so in essence, it's about moving the reporting for member contribution statements from an annual cycle to an event-based cycle through a range of technology changes around more frequent reporting. But I really think it's more frequent transparency that'll help us all make better judgments. So we're pretty pleased with it to date, and I think it's a good example of innovation.
Great. Perhaps you can spell out in a bit more detail the benefits that you see from this new reporting framework for both funds and members.
Well, I think, David, probably the main thing is exactly what I've said. We're all information starved. With some of the changes out of the 2016 measures, clearly members, funds and ourselves need to see things as they're occurring, not as an annual wash-up. So one is reducing the time lag of when information's available that people can make judgments for, including funds. It'll give members greater visibility on their transactions and the fund's view of their account, as well as seeing what they're actually doing. And therefore, it's going to promote a fair bit of transparency, which will allow us to be more proactive rather than coming back to people 18 months after an event and not being confident that the information is up to date. So we see it as a pretty positive, and in essence, you could say it's designed to be about a report once principle, and if there's no change, you don't have to report it every year.
Sure. So you're talking about quicker reporting, if you like, and more transparency. Can you tell us a bit more about the sort of timeframes that we're talking about?
Yeah, look, firstly, it's a big job. And I still want to come back to my opening comment that none of these things are easy. There's a lot of investment for funds and by funds and also by the ATO to make it work properly and efficiently and, of course, effectively. The last current member contribution statement that's lodged annually to the ATO will be due by 31 October 2018 for the 2017-18 financial year. Now, from April 2018, the so-called new reports, which is online, will start through an extended cutover period, probably up until about October 2018. And from 1 July 18, funds will be able to start sending through transactions. So all in all, the expectation is that the full new solution of event-based reporting through the various ways will have a compliance date of 1 April 2019. We think that's reasonable. It's an 18-month pathway and it's been worked up with industry, so we think it's achievable. But from a formal point of view, and we're conscious as some trustees may be listening today, we've actually formally written to people in December and we've got positive responses as to their preparedness. And obviously, as always, we're happy to discuss any difficulties.
Excellent. Now, one of the things that has always been a bugbear in this industry is SG compliance. And many employers do it properly and appropriately, but clearly there's some employers that are not paying SG when they should. To what extent do you think this new reporting will help address the non-payment of SG?
Look, David, a couple of things. Clearly, super guarantee is of focus for the government. And clearly, the ATO felt that there were some deficiencies as well as some improvements we could do. I think the main thing it does is it brings visibility to when a payment is received into a member's account. And therefore, we get early warning by definition as to when a payment hasn't been made. Of course, as many know, it's not that simple. But I think the main thing is with funds being required, and in fact this legislation's out for discussion at the moment, to report the amount of contributions made by a member within 10 business days of processing it into a member's account, people and employees will be able to see that the payment's been received, funds will be able to see what payments haven't been received, and of course we'll also be able to take action or warn people or check with people much earlier than we can at the moment. And that's really going to be a win for everybody, we think.
So do you expect that this more transparent information will in fact see more non-compliance reported, or will it give you stronger teeth as a regulator, if you like?
Look, I think it's obviously going to be a combination of both. We've learned from behaviour that if people know that others can see the data in a more frequent sense, that we'll be able to let it be very clear that we're on top of it from the start. Funds, of course, will have a role because they'll be able to assist members in their relationship with employers. We're already increasing our casework from the ATO's point of view to be more based on predictive models. And in fact, we think some of the data that will come in as a result of this reporting will actually add to the richness and accuracy of the data. And we know that then we can focus on the cases where people are seriously and regularly not seeking to comply with super guarantee.
As you mentioned, James, the government has also announced a package of reforms in the whole area of workers' superannuation entitlements. Can you tell us a little bit more about those reforms and what you think they might bring?
Look, in the last few weeks, the government's released a draft legislation and some papers outlining what's proposed. Subject to that going through, obviously, that process parliamentary, there's a couple of things. One is it's going to help the ATO in a couple of areas around, you use the word enforcement. But I think it's really about making sure that super guarantee is paid and collected. So we're going to get a couple of extra things. One will be the ability to communicate more openly where we think employees haven't received their super guarantee. We're going to get some stronger enforcement powers around director penalty notices. But I think the main thing again is we will see things earlier that we can take enforcement action or corrective action, and including working with funds to work with members directly so that they're informed much quicker how their super guarantee is being paid.
Part of this whole environment is also linked to single touch payroll and its introduction. How do you think the introduction of single touch payroll will indeed assist with SG compliance?
Look, single touch payroll is a major change for the business community and also for superannuation in particular. So I think the short answer is it's going to do two things. One is from a payroll event point of view and through payroll software, we will get an earlier sense on what is the actions that have been taken by employers to in fact support the superannuation system and pay their SG. The law actually starts, just to be clear, from 1 July 2018 for employers with 20 or more employees. And in the last few months, the government announced that they would extend that to what we would effectively call small business with 19 or less employees as of 1 July 2019. So single touch payroll is going to give us visibility very early and on every payday about amounts received by funds as well as also a range of other information. So we'll be able to do a lot better discrepancy matching. I think increasingly employees will have greater visibility on what sort of payments are being made. But in particular, it will help us monitor it much earlier and therefore be able to get on top of things a lot quicker. But it is a major reform and will present challenges for us all, but it's one that we're pretty confident at the moment we can progress now that we've got some clear policy direction and some visibility on the legislation itself.
The things we've been talking about so far are affecting funds, reporting, employers paying SG. Greater visibility and awareness of super is also in the MyGov website context so that members can see their balances across different funds, etc. Now, I understand that this increased visibility of super accounts at the member level has led to more account consolidation, which is a good thing, but perhaps you can expand on what you're seeing there.
Yeah, look, Dave, just as an example on the consolidation from July to December 2017, we actually assisted 270,000 people consolidate and transfer their lost, unclaimed and active super accounts to the value of about $1.54 billion. I just stress from the ATO's point of view, where we do have discretion and so forth, it's in all of our interests and we continue to work with funds to try and unite people with their superannuation. That's the objective, that's important, and it happens through sharing data, but also in relation to visibility. And MyGov presents a picture where an individual can see their superannuation accounts, they can see also what information the ATO holds, and take action either with their fund or with us to consolidate it, should that be their choice. And I think that MyGov adds another support tool to help people locate their super.
Sure. Now, there are obviously other developments within the whole super industry. One of them is the operational framework that you operate under. And my understanding is that's also linked to better security and in this era of risks with cybersecurity as well. So perhaps you can talk about that and what the impact of that may be on super funds.
Look, I think as the ATO, and particularly in the last couple of years since Superstream, the truth is that we are part of industry as much as industry is part of us. Big data sets, sensitive data and data that's important to people clearly raises the issue for all of us together around cybersecurity, member protection, as well as obviously data accuracy. So the operational framework you mentioned is just one element of how we seek to try and manage not so much our risk only, actually the risk for members and the risk for funds that we can, in a trusted way, in a secure way, exchange information. A small point perhaps for some listening is obviously software in all sorts of ways and the use of APIs continue to be mainstream business in many ways. So we need to make sure and work with industry that our systems are secure, and certainly cybersecurity has never been more important to make sure it's up to date, particularly with things around information in the cloud, as well as some of the ways superannuation funds operate. It's in all our interest to have a common security and one that has the right balance of access and security.
Absolutely, and the importance of that sort of security is not going to decrease in the years to come. It will only get more and more.
Yes, it's true, David. Pretty true.
I want to change tack a little bit here and talk about the cross-agency working group. Now, one of the issues we often hear in the industry is there are so many government bodies that we have to work with. The ATO, APRA, ASIC, DSS, etc. But in the area of retirement income streams, there is something happening here within the cross-agency working group. Perhaps you could explain what that's doing and how it can help providers.
Look, I'm glad you asked that because in a sense it's probably been lost a little bit, at least in conversations, of what happened back from the 26th budget around innovative retirement income stream products. And certainly the government asked us to work with the other agencies to actually have a process that brought everyone around the table, as well as it allowed for one set of approvals. It's been up and running from 1 July 2017 for new pension and annuity standards and how they'd be approved and applied. Our feedback is it's working well. Certainly the numbers are relatively small, but from a concept to a reality again, it's brought regulators together, it works. Those that have used it seem comfortable, and I think it's a good example of a more integrated approach to save time and also layers of bureaucracy. And subject, it still seems to be working pretty well, and it's a good model.
Excellent. I must say, I really encourage to see regulators working together so industry doesn't have to talk to four different providers and get different answers. But I think that's a great initiative. Thanks so much for your time today, James. I'm sure the audience has appreciated your answers, and I look forward to doing this again.
No, thanks, David. And again, thank you to the industry. It's been a tough road, but I think now we can move on to the main game this year of making sure these things remain fit for purpose and useful.
Excellent.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Connect with us on social media and tell us what you think. Download the transcript at ato.gov.au/podcasts.